Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds already doing so. Truly I tell you, he will be put in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is long delayed,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour and will punish that servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's readings help us quite a bit to appreciate the life in the apostolate of St. John Paul II, whom we celebrate today, as well as what the Lord is asking of us through this holy word and through that life and example of Father Karol Wojtyła, who became the 264th successor of St. Peter. Jesus in the Gospel today contrasts a faithful and prudent steward with one we could call an unfaithful and imprudent steward. The faithful steward had two qualities. One, he was always vigilant for the master's arrival. He knew that the Lord was present. He had a sense of the Lord's omnipresence, so that he was always behaving in the Lord's supposed absence the way he would in his presence. And the second quality is, he was constantly giving others their food, the food that the master wants them to be nourished with at the proper time. The imprudent and unfaithful servant was the one who said, my master's long delayed. I can go on, eat, drink, and be merry. In 40 years, when I'm on my deathbed, I'll make a good general confession and we'll be done with it. And then instead of caring for the others that the Lord wanted him to feed, he started to abuse them, beating them in the master's absence. Jesus says at the very end of this parable, "Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more of the person entrusted with more." Notice that he didn't say anyone is entrusted with a little. We're all very heavily endowed by God's grace, and the Lord wants us to become good and faithful servants. St. John Paul II certainly was. How did he become such a good and faithful servant? Our responsorial psalm today comes from the Easter Vigil, and it says, "You will draw water joyfully from the springs of salvation." St. John Paul II was well hydrated with the springs of salvation. He was constantly going to God to be nourished, and then filled like a well with that water, it started to overflow. That first strophe of the responsorial psalm, these words could have come straight out of John Paul II's Polish lips. "God indeed is my Savior. I'm confident and unafraid." 36 years ago today, he said to the entire world, "Be not afraid." And he was one who received his courage straight from the Lord. "My strength and my courage is the Lord," it goes on. "He's been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation." The more we drink, the more courageous we are. In the first reading today, John Paul II could have made his own St. Paul's words to the converted Christians in Ephesus. You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit. John Paul II was made a steward of the grace of the Lord for the entire inheritance of Christ as his earthly vicar. And he never kept that to himself selfishly, but let it overflow. That he had been made known the mystery of Christ, in that he became a minister of that gift by God's grace, to preach to the Gentiles, to preach to all the nations, the inscrutable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for all what is the plan of the mystery hidden from ages past in God who created everything. He was a steward who was sent to preach to the nations. John Paul II visited 104 countries. He traveled around the world the distance of 4 round trips to the moon. When he came to Mexico in 1992, he defined himself as a pilgrim pope of evangelization. He was constantly on pilgrimage all over the world to plant the seeds of the gospel, to nourish the seeds that were there. And the biggest seed of all was what St. Paul describes today, the mystery hidden from ages past in God who created everything. My academic expertise when I studied at the John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family in Rome was on his theology of the body, the catechesis on human love and the divine plan, which it took him 5 years to deliver at the beginning of his papacy. And in the middle of that great catechesis on the sacramentality of marriage and the redemption of the body, he said that this great mystery hidden from the beginning was the mystery of Christ's marriage with us, that God wanted to enter into a spousal union of love. And it's out of that spousal union that we learn who we are and how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to draw water, and how we're supposed to make sure no one else goes without that water. All of reality is spousal, he said. And it's from here that husbands and wives in the sacrament of marriage learn how to love each other. Later on in this very letter, a passage on which John Paul II commented much, he said, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and laid down his life to make her holy by water and the word." He said to all wives, "Reverence your husbands out of reverence for Christ." That just as Christ loves his bride, the church, so husbands are supposed to love their wives. Just like the church receives that love and tries to reciprocate it, so wives are supposed to be able to love their husbands. John Paul II always emphasized, if we wanted to see how Christ loved the church, he should be able to point to every sacramentally married Catholic husband and say, just like that man loves his wife. And if everyone wants to see how the church is supposed to behave toward the Lord, just like the most loving wife reverences her husband. Today we come to the font of salvation from which John Paul II drank to the dregs every morning. He analogized what happens at Mass to the consummation of a wedding. He used to celebrate Mass at St. Peter's underneath a baldachin, a huge canopy. When I was a guide to St. Peter's Basilica, I'd always ask the pilgrims, why is there this 70-ton bronze canopy over the altar on which the Pope celebrates Mass? Most people would think it was just decorative. It was far more than that. It was meant to symbolize that the altar is a marriage bed. Just like canopies, until about 100 years ago, always covered beds to keep the couple warm at night. So the ancient Christians wanted everybody to see the altar as a bed. What happens on a marriage bed? The bride takes within herself the body of the bridegroom. They become one flesh and are capacitated to let that love that they have for each other be made, to make love, to overflow in deeds toward others. This is exactly the reality of the church. When we come to Mass on this marriage bed, we, the bride of Christ, receive within the body and blood of the bridegroom. We become one flesh with the Lord Jesus, and with him together on the inside, we're able to love others as he has loved us first. This is that great mystery. This is that great font. Let us approach following John Paul II, and drink this water joyfully so that it will well up inside of us to life eternal. Praise be Jesus Christ.